Hey, my name is Melinda Ruffel, and I am obsessed with telling the stories of women involved in motorsport, young and older, from all walks of life, currently involved in a wide range of roles, or sharing their stories from the past. I'm a wife, mother of four adult children, and a mama of 16. In 2017, I was searching social media for a group dedicated to women in motorsports. When I didn't find what I was looking for, I posted a message to a few racing pages to see if any women would like to connect with me. And now I have thousands of women and men who are part of the Women's Motorsports Network. As crew chief of the only media company dedicated to women in motorsports, I work from wherever my travels take me, publishing this podcast, the Women's Motorsports Network News Online Magazine, and Let's Talk Racing Live, my social media show. You will hear from women who share their stories from the grid of life, how they manage the messy and memorable moments of family, work, and racing. You will hear their tried and true secrets of success, and many other topics like friendships, family, hardships, and heroes that women deal with to balance the seasons of life. So grab your favorite beverage, pull up a seat, make sure you are comfy, and get ready to be inspired and encouraged from the stories on the Women's Motorsports Network podcast.
Are you a female in motorsports? GoFastGirls.com apparel for the race enthusiast empowers women to fiercely pursue their dreams in action in motorsports, instilling them with confidence and unwavering determination. A GoFastGirls empowers incredible speed, unwavering effort, and success. GoFastGirls has emerged as a prominent force uniting women from all walks of life who share a passion for racing. Check us out at GoFastGirls.com today.
Hello, everyone. This is Melinda Ruffel with the Women's Motorsports Network. And Taylor Kitchen is my guest today. Welcome, Taylor, to the show. I'm excited for you to be here. We had a little bit of technical difficulty on my end, but now everything's going great. And I know this is going to be a wonderful podcast. And so I'm excited to get started. Taylor, let's start with a little bit about yourself. Just tell me a little bit about who is Taylor Kitchen.
Oh, Taylor Kitchen is so many things. I think that's what makes me kind of interesting is, you know, I didn't start off in motorsports. You know, I started off, you know, doing dance, doing soccer, in theater. You know, I'm a triplet. So a lot of my life was spent growing up with two of my best friends in the world, my brother and my sister, and small town kid, college kid, go Falcons, BGSU. But I think just to say who I am is such a complicated question because we're all made up of so many wonderful things.
So that's exciting. You're a triplet.
Yes.
And then do you have other siblings or is it the three of you did, your mom said that's enough?
Oh yeah. We were enough. That was enough, but we were good kids. So, I mean, I think we made it the easiest on my parents as triplets could possibly make it on their parents.
Yeah. And your brother, then he was outnumbered, two girls to one.
Yeah, he was the middle one of all of us, but yeah, outnumbered. But no, that's okay.
Okay. And were you all born on the same day? Because you know, sometimes at midnight, you can have different birthdays.
Yeah. No, we were all born on the same day. I was the oldest. My brother, his name is Jared. He was the middle. My sister, Lauren, was the youngest. And we were all separated by a minute, but we still carry those roles of like the youngest, middle, and oldest. Yeah, youngest, middle, and oldest child. We have those roles still, even though we're like a minute apart.
That's funny. Yeah, that is funny. I wouldn't have even thought about that. And how about pets? Do you have any pets?
Yes, I have a lovely doodle dog named Daisy. Wow. She's a Labradoodle. She's 15 years old and she really? Still has her pup. Yeah, she's still puppyish though. Like she'll still like run and play. She sleeps a lot more now than typical, yeah. But love yeah. her.
We have an older dog. He's basically a mutt, but he's a Springer Spaniel, Dalmatian, and Boxer.
Dalmatian.
He's white with some spots, but they only show up when he's wet.
Oh, okay.
But, and he's about 15 years old and he just sleeps too. Yeah. And then a year ago at Christmas time, we got a Shih Tzu puppy. And that's really my dog. His name is Crew, like Pit Crew. And he just wants to play and do all these things. And our other dog's name is Chopper. And Chopper just looks at him like, just leave me alone. I'm old, you know. And so it's kind of fun to watch him interact. Yeah. But they are best friends.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah, they like sleep snuggled up together. It's so cute. Yeah, for sure.
I love that. I'm such a dog person. I love dogs. So I love it.
Yeah. Well, my family laughed when I said I wanted one of those dogs because I was never really a dog person. Okay. But after we started going to the RV resort with our RV and everybody had little dogs and I got the bug. And so he is just the best little dog. He's just made, I said to my husband, it's the best thing we ever did was get this dog. So,
oh gosh, I'm so happy for you. I love it.
Yeah, absolutely. So Taylor, you said you didn't start in motorsports. How did you get involved then? What? Tell me your story.
Yeah. Motorsports came to me a little later in my life. I would say I'm 24. It sounds like I'm old. I'm not. But when I was 16, I started watching NASCAR with my grandma. She was a fan as long as I can remember. And she would always have the races on each weekend. And when I was younger, I was like, this is lame. Like, this is just going in circles. I didn't understand it, you know? And it just wasn't my thing. I didn't grow up in that area. I didn't grow up in a town and in a place that talked about NASCAR. So, I don't even know what provoked me to watch this particular race in full with her, but it was an Xfinity Series Texas Night Race. It's one that Kyle Busch won in 2016. And after watching it, I was like, okay, this is actually pretty neat. Cause I was actively listening. I was engaged with it. And so from there I got onto Twitter and I just talked about NASCAR literally nonstop all the time. I had so many people that were my friends on follow me because they're like, dude, this is just a NASCAR account now. I can't handle this. So yeah. 2017, I went to my first in-person race. My grandparents, they camped at Kentucky Speedway since the Cup Series started going there. And they brought my siblings and I, and at that point I just fell in love with it. And I knew, but then and there, I wanted to be a bigger part of the industry. I just had no clue how and what. And it wasn't until I went to college that I kind of found where I wanted to be. And that was kind of in the media PR realm of the sport. It took a bit to get there, but that's kind of how I got into motorsports and NASCAR in particular.
Well, that's awesome. So the grandmas like me, we're the ones that get our grandkids interested in motorsports. So that's a fun story. And does she have a favorite driver?
Her favorite was Dale Earnhardt Jr. And now she can't stand him. She's very upfront about it.
Really?
Yeah.
See, I think he's a great announcer.
Oh, I do too. And I know some people don't, but I think he brings that needed excitement. Like, I know you have that level of like, you need to stay professional. Like you can't have the fan side out like when you're like in the profession. But I think when it comes to announcing, you kind of have to have that fan side in you. You have to be so eager and have that enthusiasm. And that's what Dale Jr. brings to the booth. And I think that's part of why my grandma doesn't like him anymore. She feels like he's too like, it's the Dale Jr. show and she doesn't like it. Kind of like Denny Hamlin, you know, it's like the Denny show and it's just, but I love Dale Jr. So
I do too. And honestly, when he was a driver, he, you know, I didn't dislike him, but he wasn't necessarily my favorite. I just, I liked NASCAR, but he's my favorite announcer. And I, you know, now that Kevin Harvick started announcing, he's very good.
He's
so
I think
the drivers, those drivers, the more relevant, more up-to-date that drivers are really good announcers. So I've enjoyed both of them for sure. So
absolutely.
Hopefully he'll be back at NBC because I heard he doesn't have a contract yet. So
that makes me so nervous. I hope so too. It would be a real shame if they decided not to re-up it. Because I'm sure, I mean, I don't know what he wants to do, but if he wants to leave, fine. But if he wants to stay, get that man a contract.
I think he wants to stay because if you listen to his podcast, I think he wants to stay, but you know, I'm sure it's not cheap to have him either, but he brings a lot of credibility to NBC, I think, for that. So anyway, we kind of went down the rabbit hole, but anyhow, so you went to college, you decided you wanted to do something with media. So go from there. What happened? What were the steps?
Yeah. So I went to college. I actually auditioned to be in my school's musical theater program. That's how it all started. And I literally, in that audition, I walked out to my mom after I did one of my monologues. And I was like, this is not what I want to do. I don't want to audition for the rest of my life. This is awful. Like, I've always been a storyteller, whether it's creative writing. I used to actually sing a lot as well. And so I would like write little songs in like a journal or whatever. And I was like, I'm just going to perform and do that. And like, that'll be fine. And so then the college audition happened, didn't want to do that. So then I was like, okay, well, I did film. I ran a film club in high school and I was like, I'll go into film production. And so got into college, did the film production route for like a semester. And then I was like, well, I actually don't like watching movies. So why am I doing film? And then that led me to, okay, what other storytelling paths, what do I like? And I like to just sit down and talk with people about their lives, about their experiences and learn from them. So after, you know, several major changes, I went the journalism route. Broadcast journalism is my major, what my degree is in, and my minor, I was able to create based off of, you know, my passions and what I really wanted to do. And my college was really good at forming that. It was sports issues and media management. There we go. So, you know, through college, I had the opportunity to do rinkside reporting with the CCHA for my college's hockey team. Had the opportunity to do radio broadcasting, which I adore. I love it. I don't think I have a voice for radio, but it was still so much fun, and running the board. And I really was able to make the most out of my college experience, especially in an area where NASCAR just isn't there. Toledo Speedway was, I mean, an hour or so away. But with me, who had like no car my first few semesters of college, like, I couldn't really go anywhere. So, but from there, I just kind of did my own thing. And I was encouraged to do my own thing with my show Above the Yellow Line. And everyone was super supportive. And I came out of college with, you know, a few like part-time jobs that are kind of full-time within hours. And I just kind of took the leap of faith and here we are.
Yeah. So tell the audience, what do you do now? What are you up to?
Yeah, right now, so back in 2021, I know I'm all over the place time-wise, but I started my show Above the Yellow Line, which originally was Motorsports Media Your Way, a show by a fan for fans. And it was just me wanting to create something with a different voice. Every time I looked on YouTube, and this is not a diss to like the male content creators out there at all, because I mean, y'all make some great stuff too, but there weren't a lot of female voices in the content space for NASCAR. There weren't a lot of younger fans. I was newer at that point. And I just wanted to be different. I wanted to create my own community. I was trying to get my life back together after being really sick for like a year and a half. And I left college and I was like, I need something to form community. So Above the Yellow Line became that for me. And since then we've expanded. We do live streams, recaps and everything in between. So I have the content side. I work with TobyChristie.com to bring them content as well. And I do act track reporting, which is awesome. Beyond that, though, if that already isn't enough, I also do things behind the scenes. I'm currently working with two driver development companies. I work with about six drivers, helping them with their marketing, PR, communications, and social media strategies. So kind of all encompassing, and each role kind of helps each other. I think I gained a lot of insight from like the PR and those roles to help me kind of in my reporting and understanding the industry better, and vice versa. So an all inclusive, encompassing, I should say, kind of media background in the sport.
Yeah. So I ran across, I think it was either LinkedIn or Facebook, I'm not sure where I saw you first, but I love the title Above the Yellow Line, because it, you know, some people, if they don't know anything about motorsports, maybe wouldn't get that. But anybody that follows motorsports would know that's has something to do with motorsports. And so I started, you know, following you and what you were doing. And so you're right. There's not very many women, especially like that do podcasts about motorsports. There's you, there's me, and there's maybe a couple others somewhere along the line. But, you know, it's mostly guys who maybe have a woman on periodically. I mean, we have a lot of women who are pit reporters or broadcasters, you know, on Fox or for NBC or whatever. But I was interested in following you because I felt like we kind of had the like-minded thoughts about what we needed to do. And so, I've enjoyed following you. What's your favorite part about what you do?
For me, quite honestly, it is that interaction with the community. I love storytelling, and that's obviously a big part of it. If you're not in this for the storytelling and really wanting to help promote and better the sport through that, like, this probably isn't the route for you. You're not in content. Maybe you're in content creation for fame. Sure. I'm in it because I love sharing stories. And I love the community and the collaborative aspect of content and journalism. And so I don't know. It's just, it's such a weird space to be in content-wise now within just how the sport is and everything's evolving. But it just, I'm in it because I like the storytelling, and that's where you kind of have to come at it from.
Yeah. And that's totally where I came from. I owned a weekly newspaper 20 years ago or more. And when I lived in West Central Illinois, and, you know, we covered two little towns. We covered their school and their sports, you know, and just news of these two small towns in Illinois. And I loved, it was human interest stories. And that was my favorite thing to do, was to write those stories. And so when I got involved in motorsports, and I decided I was going to print a magazine because I had done this newspaper. And I thought, you know, I wanted to change. I was in the accounting field for a long time, and the company I was working for closed. And so I was ready to do something different anyway, and started this online magazine. And when I say online, that's the way everybody reads nowadays. Okay. Mm-hmm. So I had several people at some major motorsport publications tell me that I should do an online magazine. If they had it to do over, or were starting when I started in 2017, that online's the way to go, because printing costs were going up. People don't take time to sit down and read a magazine that much anymore. Although if you go to Barnes and Noble, there's a ton of them, but.
Oh yeah. I love
Barnes and Noble. I disagree because I love magazines and books, but and so they said, you know, they all suggest, said, do an online magazine. People can read it on the go on their phone. And so that's what I did. So in 2017, that's what I started, was the Women's Motorsports Network News. And then some friends of mine did a show, and they didn't call it a podcast, but they did a radio show, and it aired on Facebook. And they asked me to interview a woman on their show. And so I did that. And then it was a very popular segment. So then they were like, you should really have your own show. And that's how this podcast started.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So, and then just recently, you know, it's all about content, right, Taylor? Mm-hmm. And so everywhere you read, if you read like I do, which I'm sure you do too, and learn how to share your content, it's to repurpose it.
Yeah.
Do something in a different way. So recently, then, I just started with the January issue of the magazine, and I am recording the stories that I wrote. So I wrote a story, and now I'm recording it, and then I'm sharing that on social media. And so that's another way for the story about that woman to get out to where she can get her story told. And like you said, you love sharing the stories, and that's exactly what I'm doing, because so many women have such great stories, like you. I didn't know you were a triplet. I didn't know that you did all these other things, and how you got to where you are now. And so we all have a story, and the women that I interview, they may not be famous. Some of them are more well known than others, but it doesn't matter, because they still have a good story. And that's what I like about what I do. Sounds like it's the same for you.
Yeah. For me, it's always fun to find the stories. And this is something too, like from the PR side, you're always trying to figure out with your drivers, what's their story? How do I promote them? What makes them unique? What makes them interesting? Or, because a lot of times when you're trying to pitch a driver, especially, you have to look outside of like, all right, they just had a race win. That's great. Somebody, a news outlet can talk to them. But let's say maybe they have a lull in their season. They're getting decent stats, but it's like, okay, how else do I promote them? What's your story? What do you find that you're passionate about outside the car? And I love to look for those bits and pieces. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It's always fun to figure out what drives a person. outside of the race car. And that to me is almost more interesting than a race win, than a race stat, an impressive thing. And that those make really good and fun interviews. And you also mentioned something interesting too, that I wanted to circle back to, which was like the repurposing of content. Because that right now, it's such an evolving game. Like every single day, the content that you need to produce is different. You might have a whole formula of 1 week that works out for you. You get the good views, like to be able to, you know, pay the bills, et cetera. And then the next week, the same formula doesn't work. And you're like, right. Okay. And you have to just like constantly evolve it, and it can get exhausting. But
yeah.
And then too, like for different platforms, like what something I make for TikTok, I need to re-edit for Instagram, and it like takes twice as long. So like,
yeah,
I totally get that too, but everything's so digital now. And, but the storytelling aspect on digital platforms, like the recording of the stories, is something big, and then turning those into the podcast and everything like that. So yeah, digital is the way to go. And storytelling digital wise right now is big.
Well, and you know, I think that people want to know who they are. Mm-hmm. We see them on the racetrack. We know what number car they drive or who do they drive for. But I want to know, who is Daniel Dye? That's just one that comes to mind. You know, who is Justin Allgaier? He's one of my favorite drivers because he's originally from Illinois, Riverton, Illinois. And that's where I was originally from Warsaw, Illinois, but he was an Illinois guy. You know, what about Eric Jones? Eric Jones, you know, started out at Berlin Raceway a little over an hour from me. And so that's great. I know that. But what is he like? He likes to read. He just got married. Those are the things that people are interested in. Mm-hmm. You know, it's, you know, we don't want to go to where it's the gossip magazine, but we also want to share who are you outside of racing. Mm-hmm. And I think that's why fans tend to follow one driver or another. It's not necessarily because of how they drive or how many wins they have. It might be because who their sponsor is, and it's a sponsor that they really relate to. Or it might be that they're a triplet. And so, oh, he's a triplet. I want to follow him. You see what and so that's, to me, an important part of the storytelling that we do, mm-hmm. is that we let people know who you are besides your motorsports history.
Right. I don't know if you watched the NASCAR Full Speed documentary on Netflix.
Yes, I did.
Yeah. And one thing that stuck out to me, I think we think of Christopher Bell as very one-dimensional. And this series really gave him, I don't want to say personality because everybody has a personality, but we were able to learn more of who he was. William Byron, for instance, I love the show Lego Masters. Love it. And he was on an episode of that show, what, 2 seasons ago? And I was like, why William Byron? I get it's because like there's like a Fox connection, but I had no clue until I watched the docuseries that he's really big into Lego. Uh-huh. So I was like, okay, like another reason to like William Byron if I didn't already. It's like just down to earth, loves to build Lego. I love building Lego, like on the side. Like that's one of my chill activities I love to do with my boyfriend. And so I was like, we can connect. So you're absolutely right. We want to know who these people are.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, I've heard lots of comments about that show. I thought it was very well done.
Yes.
I was never a Denny Hamlin fan. I wouldn't say that I disliked him because I don't really dislike any of the drivers. But he wasn't my top driver. Mm-hmm. But honestly, the more I've listened to his podcast, the more, and then after watching that show, he's become more real to me. And you know, the fact that he is what he is on the racetrack, I'm okay with that. Mm-hmm. You know, if they, you know, and like you said, William Byron, Christopher Bell, they don't have really those outgoing personalities like Kyle Busch. And, you know, that's my favorite. That was, has always been my favorite driver. So they don't have those outgoing, you know, personalities that maybe rub people the wrong way or create energy at the racetrack. Even if it's negative energy, it still is energy. But Danny's like, hey, this is who I am. I'm a dad. And from what I see, he's a pretty good dad. And then, you know, seeing his girls and they cried when he lost. And I mean, it just makes you feel like he's more of a real person than just that obnoxious race car driver that he appears to be when he's racing.
Right. And I will say, like, I used to not like Denny Hamlin when I started off as a fan. It was because of him and Chase Elliott. When he took Chase Elliott out of his first win so many years ago, I was like, oh, because I started off as a really big Chase Elliott and Ryan Blaney fan. And I was like, all right, we don't like Denny Hamlin now. And over the years, I'm like, okay, like, I understand why I didn't like him, because I was mad in the moment. But when I took a step back and I was thinking, okay, who is Denny Hamlin? Like, what is he actually? I understand on the track, he can be a bit of a menace. But, you know, through the years of him, you know, starting that podcast, doing the NASCAR Netflix docuseries, just following him on social media, really learning to appreciate his skill, he's now one of my favorites, especially too when it comes to interviews. He is so insightful, him and Kevin Harvick as well, which is why, going back to Kevin Harvick in the booth, why he's so fantastic is the insight that they can provide in the detail is really good.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, so I watched the Formula One series and I was never a Formula One follower, you know, but following that series made me more interested in the drivers. And then, you know, I was like, gosh, NASCAR needs to get with it. Well, they did finally get with it. And so I hope they continue it. I hope they do more. You know, people were like, oh, well, they only followed this driver and it was the Denny Hamlin show. Okay, well, like he said in the podcast or in the show, they wanted full access, or they wanted as much access as they could. And he gave them full access.
Yeah.
And if you weren't willing to open up and do that, which I can see why some people wouldn't want to, you know, then okay. But then don't complain about who's on the show. And hopefully they'll do more of those and they'll highlight maybe some other drivers. But I really enjoyed it. And I hope they do more of those.
Yeah.
If you met a little girl at the racetrack and she said, you know, I love motorsports. What would you say to her about getting involved in the field of motorsports?
Honestly, I would probably say just, you know, I mean, I would obviously ask, like, you know, what are you passionate about? But it's just start. There's so many people that feel like they have to have a game plan, or they have to have the right equipment or the right like skill set or anything like that. I mean, when I got my opportunity to work in PR and marketing, I had zero marketing experience prior. And the only first press release I wrote before that moment was in college as an activity. And the reason I got those opportunities, though, is because I show that my work ethic and my hard work and my determination is second to none. And if you just put yourself out there and you make the right connections and you work hard and you're willing to learn, you're going to get to where you want to be. You just have to believe in yourself. And that's the big thing, too. I would just say believe in yourself. There's a lot of people out there, especially women in motorsports or women in any field, really, that feel in a male-dominated field that they can't go anywhere, or they can't reach somewhere higher or whatever. Even too, I have a chronic illness that has impacted my life greatly. I feel like, oh my gosh, I have to maneuver my life around this illness sometimes. Can I reach the highest highs of what I wanted to reach? And I know if I put my mind to it and if I forge my own path, I can do it because I've done it. So it really is like, believe in yourself, make those connections and forge your path is what I would say.
Yeah. I agree with that 100%. Yeah, for sure. I talk to so many little girls, and it's funny to watch how the younger they are, the less intimidated they are by the boys. And then they kind of get to an age where if they are being, you know, I don't know what the word is, if they're being harassed or whatever.
Yeah.
But it's usually parents. It's not usually the kids anyway. And then they reach to the other side of that where they get old enough where they're like, hey, this is me. This is what I want to do. And you're not going to stop me. And so they kind of go through those transitions. But little girls, they're not one bit usually intimidated by the fact that they might be the only girl on the track. And I love that.
Yeah. No, I love that. That's
I
awesome.
Love that for sure. So you're involved with the social media aspect more so than a lot of other things. You're not a driver. So let's talk about that a little bit. What is some advice you would give to a driver, let's just say drivers for now. What advice would you give to a driver about social media? What should they be doing it? Should they hire somebody? What kinds of things should they be sharing? Give a little insight to the drivers that might be listening.
Right. I think, and this is also just experience of working with my own drivers as well. But if you don't believe that you should be putting effort into social media, you're wrong. Just blatantly, bluntly, you're wrong. Social media is such an important tool to share your story, especially if you are a young driver starting out. Maybe you're not able to get media opportunities because your name just isn't kind of in that space yet. Media and you controlling your own social media is you telling your story and controlling your narrative. And if a driver has a story they want to share, social media is the way to go. Don't just go onto Facebook, also go onto Instagram, TikTok, Twitter, Snapchat, though I'm not a fan of Snapchat just personally, but any outlet you can, make it work for you. I have seen drivers like Ryan Vargas, for example. He is fantastic with social media. He's really good on TikTok. He got a sponsorship from TikTok and he put in the effort and the time himself to make that happen. And that just goes with drivers. I feel a lot of times drivers get in the trap and the mindset of, well, I'm a race car driver. My job is only in the car. In reviewing my footage outside the car. That's not it. You also have to be able to market for yourself. That is big, especially when you're a younger driver and your name's not totally out there. If you go out by yourself and market to a company, that's big. And they're going to be like, have major respect for you showing up and marketing yourself and sharing your story. Social media, I would also say advice for that too is hire a videographer for sure. In the meantime, you know, maybe have family help you out, get video. You know, photography, maybe hire a photographer. If you don't have that budget, again, your phone and good lighting is all you need. But at the end of the day, social media does really well. Drivers who are out there when you're the one controlling it. Obviously Denny Hamlin has his own social media manager, but he's also on social media a lot himself and he's created his own identity. So same thing goes for these grassroots racers and drivers that are younger, drivers that are maybe in truck, ARCA, you know, if you're the one posting your stories every day, posting updates, posting personal content, again, goes back to sharing your story and sharing more of the personal side of who you are so people can connect to you. Sharing like, I go to the gym once a week. Here's a workout that I do. Or, hey, I just got a new dog. My dog's going to travel with me to the track. Here are our adventures. Like, that's fun, right?
Yeah.
So it really is be consistent. Show your personality through your social media, but do social media. Like it's not negotiable. You have to do social media to get somewhere now, especially to provide values to your partners.
I 100%, 1000% agree because, and I think the younger you start building your brand and promoting yourself, the better you are.
Yes.
So like I said, I've interviewed a lot of, you know, I call little girls, 6 years old, 7 years old, 10 years old. And some of them are just amazing at how they promote themselves. And those are the names that I remember. And those are the names that other people remember. And, you know, find a little bit of a niche in your social media. It can't be just that you're a driver because there's thousands of women that are drivers. Okay. What else is there about you that sets you apart from everybody else? And, you know, and there's a young gal I interviewed not too long ago. Her name's Maddie Turley. And she came up, she's Mopar Maddie. So you're not going to forget Mopar Maddie, right? For the name. And so come up with something that is relatable and is really part of who you are, but that gives people a reason to remember you. And you're not too young to start. Maybe your mom needs to help you when you're 6 years old. Probably mom needs to do it when you're 6 years old, but don't say, well, that's for teenagers or that's for, no, it's not. You need to start now.
And I honestly think it's not just, oh, that's for teenagers or whatever. It's more so the mindset of, oh, that's too much work or, oh, I don't know how to do that. I don't really want to, or that takes too much time posting. Like it never takes too much time to make a post, like 5 minutes top. If you want to make a video, maybe 30 minutes, depending on how like good you want it to be, how much involved you want it to be. If it's a longer video, fine. But the mindset needs to shift between, oh, to this is going to help me. Like right. it's that mindset shift that I think a lot of drivers need to do with a lot of the smaller tasks or a lot of the not non-driving tasks that are going to help them succeed.
Well, and the other thing, you know, I've had when TikTok first came out, I had a woman that said to a driver, oh, you don't want to be involved with that. Very negative about TikTok. Mm-hmm. And I spoke up and I said, well, I disagree with that. Uh-huh. There is nothing more visual than TikTok.
Right.
And we have a very visual sport.
Yes.
You know, if you're following baseball on TikTok, no, doesn't mm-hmm. happen fast enough. Usually it would have to be little snippets, but a couple laps around a track on TikTok is pretty interesting to watch.
Yeah.
And it's not any different than any other social media. You have to be careful.
Yes.
You have to be smart about what you post and don't post. But I think TikTok is a great media platform for race car drivers. So, mm-hmm. you know, figure out. And the other thing is, and I'm sure you probably tell your drivers this, you can't be on everything and do a good job.
Correct.
So pick a couple of them that are good, Instagram and TikTok or whatever they might mm-hmm. be. Pick a couple of them that you kind of enjoy doing. And then, you know, once in a while, maybe, you know, post that to another, post it to Facebook, post it to something else. But you have to make it fun. And that yeah. way, when you make it fun, then it's not a, oh, I have to do this.
Exactly.
You know, you have to find the fun aspect of your social media.
Yes. Because if you don't think that it's fun and you make it a job, it is going to feel like a job. And granted, that is my job. So,
nice.
But you always have to be excited about it. And, you know, it's really fun for me. One of my drivers, his name is Howie. He is always sending me like content ideas. He's like, hey, what if we do this? And like, that's always exciting for me because he's super actively involved in
yes.
his content. Though I manage it and I help him put content out and I edit it for him and I send ideas, he's like, ooh, but I went here today. Why don't we do this? And that's so exciting for me. And he's made it more fun as opposed to a job. So I 100% agree with you.
Right. And, you know, if you look at ARCA and up from there, or you look at NHRA, whatever race series it might be, you know, people are starting at such a young age mm-hmm. that they need to, like I said, start the brand and get going, but they have to be consistent about it. And I think you mentioned that.
Yes.
And, you know, they may start when they're 10 years old and they have 100 followers, but if they're sharing good content and they're mm-hmm. fun about it and they're showing the good and the bad sometimes, or
yeah.
funny things that happen, then by the time they're 16 or 20, they've got 10,000 followers. And so, you know, that's kind of what we want. We want people to follow, to you know, watch you, to support you, even if it's just on social media. There's a race car driver that grew up in Cave Creek, Arizona, Taylor Cool. K-U-E-H-L is her last name. She moved when she was 18 years old. She moved to Iowa because the racing in Iowa was better for what she did. Moved there by herself. She works as a real estate agent now, and she is a great example of how to grow your social media. She mm-hmm. had a friend that helped her some, and they just posted all kinds of fun things. And like today, she's driving back to Iowa for the season, and she was posting, oh, Iowa cornfields and cows. And, you know, there's not a lot of cornfields and cows in Cave Creek, Arizona. And so
right.
she was sharing, and that's what it takes. It mm-hmm. people feel like they know you, and then they'll follow you. And the more that you post outside of the car, the more people are going to follow you, because there's only a handful of you that are inside the car.
Right. No, 100%.
Yeah, absolutely. So Taylor, what have I not asked you about that you want to share? How do people follow you and watch your show and all that? And then anything that we haven't discussed that we should have?
Ooh, That's a good, I always love asking that question during interviews. I've never been asked that though, so that's fun. I think for me, a lot of it is, we've talked about this already a little bit, but it really is just like, just do it. I mean, if you're passionate about something, I don't care if it's motorsports, if it's cooking, if it's becoming a president, whatever it is, just like go after it. There's so many times in my life where I've just kind of been frozen by fear, and where I've been frozen by what I feel my limits are. But I stepped into the scary. I kind of stepped into the unknown, and you learn really quickly, or maybe over time, that okay, what I thought my limit was is not my limit. I can push it a little bit more. Something that you think is scary is not actually so bad. You push it. I think Brad Keselowski, and I don't remember the right quote, but it stuck with me. Brad Keselowski once said a quote where he's like, if your dream isn't scary, it's not big enough.
I have that on my wall somewhere.
Because I'm like, I'm
printed
sure
that on a poster. If your dreams aren't big enough, if your dreams don't scare you, they aren't big enough.
Yeah. And like, I know Brad's probably not the first one to have ever said it in life ever, but when he said it in an interview, I was like, oh, I think this is cool. So I always kind of try to measure myself with that. Now I'm like, okay, where's the dream? Am I achieving it? Can I go bigger or not? Like, so, I mean, it really is just start somewhere, make those connections. But like, just don't be scared. You're good. But yeah, so that's like the final closing thing I just wanted to leave off with. But to find me, I'm on all social media platforms. Look up @_TaylorKitchen_. I believe that's TikTok and Twitter. And then @AboveTheYellowLine on literally every other platform. AboveTheYellowLine.com is where you can find all of the social media platforms in one place, all of our content, more about me, contact information there as well. If you want to reach out for advice, if you're a driver looking for advice as well, I'm willing to chat. So yeah, just feel free to reach out and find me on social media.
Okay. The social media gal is on social media. So figure that. Well, Taylor, I'm glad we were able to get this going today. We did have a little issue at the beginning, so but we pursued. You didn't give up on me. You stuck around, and so
absolutely.
I'm glad you did. Yeah. I enjoyed learning more about you today and talking with you. So have a good rest of the week. NASCAR is back in full swing. Football's mm-hmm. over. That time between the Super Bowl and NASCAR is hard for me. I'm ready for the racing to start, and it won't be long. It'll be starting here in Michigan, I hope. So have a good season. If I can ever do anything to help you in any way, I would be happy to. And it was really fun getting to know you better today.
Yes. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you. Serafina Safety Apparel protects women better. They offer superior, leading-edge protective apparel for women who refuse to settle for what has been and accept the status quo. Their goal is to provide the customers with relevant products and the assurance that the total body protection system provides extra time to escape the dangers of on-the-job hazards. Serafina Safety Apparel offers premium, next generation flame resistant apparel that is disrupting what has been and revolutionizing what's next for women working in industrial, military, fire service, motorsports, and more. To learn more, give Kelly a call at 1-800-946-0897. That's Serafina Safety Apparel at 800-946-0897. Thank you for listening to the Women's Motorsports Network podcast. Subscribe to my show and follow me on Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, and YouTube. If you or someone you know would like to be featured in the Women's Motorsports Network News online magazine, this podcast, or Let's Talk Racing Live, my social media show, contact me via Messenger on Facebook at Melinda Russell, or send me an email at womensmotorsportsnetwork@gmail.com.